The Old Testament reading is from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Christ, you in peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I much prefer that someone tell me what to preach on. I don't want to think about the texts that I'd avoid if given the chance. But the texts that we have here today are something of a mixture. The epistle lesson is a lectionary text, but not the lectionary that we typically use. It comes from a series that the church used for hundreds of years and read the same texts yearly. So there are hundreds of years of sermons by famous people and those not so famous, but this one sermon of theirs survived. But that lectionary didn't have Old Testament lessons that went with it. So various people, like the LCMS group compiling our Lutheran service book, have augmented it with Old Testament lessons. So that historic lectionary ends up being partly modern anyway. But the juxtaposition of these two texts for Ash Wednesday is compelling. Starting with the Old Testament, I think we get a profound picture of God's justification. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was the hyperpower of the world. And if we're mad at Russia for waging offensive wars of conquest, well, Assyria was much, much worse. So take all the hate that our media generates towards Russia and the Russians today for their actions and direct it at Nineveh for a moment. Surely there can be no forgiveness for Nineveh. We cancel them and leave them canceled forever. That's Jonah, the prophet's message. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He never wanted to go there to begin with, but when he arrives, he's just telling them, you're all dead. It's not a call to repentance. There's no, the kingdom is near, repent. There's no hope that he gives them. It's pure condemnation. And you guys deserve it. Get the Ninevites, take it to heart, and talk amongst themselves, and their picture of God Almighty is not all wrath. But he must be merciful. They called the fast, put on sackcloth. And when the message and actions reached the king, he says, who knows? God may turn and relent from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. They didn't have the patriarchs, nor Moses, nor the prophets, nor David, nor any of the covenants that the Jews did. Where did this faith come from? Luther would know. When confronted by that hidden God, the one that you don't know, but the one who's full of wrath and condemnation, the revealed God that comes from outside of ourselves is the only one to deliver us. And that revealed God comes to us through his word. God sent them a prophet, however reluctant. And by human standards, he was a pretty crappy prophet. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah wasn't going to teach them anything. Jonah wanted them destroyed. But the will of God happens without our prayer. And the Ninevites heard the word, and hearing the word, they repented. And when they repented, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster. We teach confession and absolution, but there isn't a third part in there. The absolution of God is not dependent upon your actions. The righteousness of God through Jesus Christ is available by faith. Nineveh had a faith that the destruction of such a great city could not be God's real desire. That he must be a God of mercy, even just to warn. And that faith in God saved them. It absolved them. And if God can forgive the Assyrians, he can forgive anyone. It's that absolution of God is real, and it's true, and it's salvific. The revealed God, Jesus Christ, has been given to us as proof of his steadfast love for us. Part of Ash Wednesday is a yearly reminder of where it starts. It starts in hearing the proclamation, repent. It starts in hearing the words, dust you are and dust you shall return. Life is temporary, and we deserve its end. But God has granted to us all things that pertain to life. That's how Peter begins his letter. We've been given life in Jesus. The question is, how do we use that life? Peter's opening continues that we've not only been granted all things that pertain to life, but also to godliness. It's here that Peter starts his teaching on what we'd call sanctification. The purpose of the Christian life is not so that you are eternally separated from God or eternally kept in sackcloth and ashes. Yes, in this life we don't really escape those completely. But what Peter says is that we have been granted his precious and great promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You are being conformed to Christ. You are being divinized, being taken up into God in Christ. When Christ assumed our human nature, he took that nature into God. And those who are found in Christ are found in God. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So what does that sanctification look like? When we get up from the ashes and walk out into this world, what is that about? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That's the path up from the ashes. That's the path towards God. It starts in those ashes and in that pure gift through faith, but it doesn't stay there. Make every effort to supplement your faith. Peter knows that this isn't constant or steady if he immediately slips into that maybe world, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. A big if. But make every effort. But if they are, they keep us from being unfruitful. If you lack them, it's like being blind. So blind you might forget, like Nineveh eventually forgot their initial grace. But the Holy Spirit has taken residence in you. And for the first time, you have an actual choice. You are not bound to sin in the indwelling righteousness of God. You can make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So hear the word. You are dust. To dust you shall return. But God has given you his grace and has multiplied to you the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So make every effort. And what God has started, He will see to its completion. Amen.